Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
We're in Matthew chapter 12 at the end of the chapter. Matthew chapter 12, verses 46 through 50. Notice the title of the section, Understanding the Meaning of Family. Understanding the Meaning of Family. This is something that we need to learn about, we need to know about. We've discussed parts of this before, but now we're putting it all together. This will be part one this week, and part two we'll take and finish up next week. And those from out of town, you'll either have to stay for an extra week or come back and join us. Come back. Reading chapter 12, verse 46. And while he was still talking to the people or crowds, behold or look or notice, his mother and his brothers had been standing outside, desiring or seeking to speak with him. Then someone said to him, behold or look, your mother and your brothers have been standing outside desiring or seeking to speak with you. But when he answered, he said unto the one who had spoken to him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And when he stretched out his hand over his disciples, that's a literal translation. It gives you a picture here that Jesus is sitting down in the people he's speaking to is on the floor. We know from Mark's gospel that he was now inside of a house. So as he stretched out his arm and waved it over his disciples and said, behold my mother and my brothers, and whoever should do the will of my Father who is in heaven, this same one is my brother and sister and mother. Understanding the meaning of family. Jesus indicated back in Matthew chapter 10, which is the leading chapter for these three chapters, 10, 11, and 12, that for the disciples coming to him to become his disciple, that the biggest struggle that one will have is with relationships, especially family. It'll be the one key main obstacle and tool that Satan will use in order to draw people away from Christ. And I have to say it again, I've said it a couple of weeks ago, but I want to say it right off the bat, right on top this morning. Is there is a difference between a religious Christian and a spiritual Christian. A religious Christian is somebody who believes what the Bible says about Jesus and even might believe the Bible is the Word of God. A religious Christian might even go to church every once in a while or all the time. But the philosophy and the interpretation of Scripture is humanistic or applied humanitarianistically. And the religious Christian uses logic and reason to apply Scripture rather than the spiritual meaning of the Scripture. A spiritual Christian is a disciple of Jesus Christ. A religious Christian is not. A spiritual Christian is a disciple of Jesus Christ, not a disciple of the church, not a disciple of the Bible, but a disciple of the person of Jesus Christ. The spiritual Christian has been born of the Spirit of God and now belongs to Jesus Christ because of His presence living in them. The spiritual Christian believes that what the Bible says about Jesus Christ, just like the religious Christian. The spiritual Christian also believes that the Bible is the Word of God, just like the religious Christian. Except the spiritual Christian, though continually going to church and Bible study, interprets Scripture spiritually, not humanistically. It is applied spiritually, not humanistically. So that the application is to the Spirit and its spiritual meaning, not applying it humanistically to a human meaning. You say, well, what does that have to do with this type of a study or this issue or topic? Eric mentioned in prayer about the protests down in Santa Barbara, and people are protesting all over the United States. And most of it has to do with a difference between dividing families or uniting families, or some other uses or abuses of people. And there's a division as to exactly what is right to do and how to handle various human situations where children are separated from their parents, or even children are with their parents. So there's a divided issue about family and relationships and how to handle various situations. And some people I've seen this week have actually used Scripture to say that we are all brothers and sisters, meaning the human race. And we need to treat everybody the same. We need to let the illegal immigrants in because they are our brothers and sisters. That is applying Scripture humanistically. Brothers and sisters are brothers and sisters in Christ, not according to the human race. So when they quote Scriptures about brothers and sisters, it's not about the human race. It's about brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters who are disciples of Jesus Christ. A religious Christian is someone who has religious beliefs and Christian beliefs, and they hold to them. A spiritual Christian is someone who has a walk with the Lord. There is a difference. By walk with the Lord, I mean because they've been born of the Spirit of God, they have an interaction with the Lord in their life. You'll hear them talk like, well, the Lord's really dealing with me this week, or I've really been talking to the Lord about some things, really hoping He can straighten some things out. It's a personal interaction. There's a personal reference to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Whereas a religious person, again, just sticks with the religious basics. They're not born of the Spirit of God. They might talk like a spiritual Christian, and they might act at times like a spiritual Christian, might even act better outwardly, as we saw last week in the study of the seeking of a sign, where religious people can focus on and discipline the external actions, whereas inwardly are empty and even available for evil forces to come in and take over. So there's a religious version of Christianity. There is a spiritual version. The spiritual version is the biblical version. We have made a religious version, and that's one of the things we're going to talk about in our studies for the next 2 days, Monday and Tuesday, is that there are various Christian religious systems that man has made that references the Bible, But the systems themselves are man-centered. They're governed by man. It's focused on the performance of man, the works of man, and sometimes very legalistically, applying it to people's lives. But when Jesus came, he changed the perception and perspective of family. Let's look at verses 46 and 47, the circumstances surrounding this. While Jesus was still speaking with the crowds, look or notice that his mother and his brothers had been standing outside seeking to speak with him. Many people don't realize it, but the Bible teaches that Jesus had half-brothers and half-sisters. In Matthew chapter 13, verses 55 and 56, the people of the town that Jesus lived in said, "Is not this the son of the carpenter? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? From when there has this man all of these things?" They stumbled over the fact that he was raised in the town and he had a family and he had brothers and he had sisters. He worked in the carpenter shop as a young boy. But now all of a sudden at the age of 30, he's manifesting himself as the Messiah. And so his family has problems, as they don't believe. In fact, the Bible tells us in John chapter 7, I believe it's verse 5, that his brothers and his family did not believe in him until after the resurrection, when Jesus appeared to them, then they believed. Verse 47 says, "And someone said to Jesus, 'Look, behold, your mother and your brothers have been standing outside seeking to speak to you.'" Now Mark tells us, Mark chapter 3, verse 21, tells us that both the Lord's family and his friends were seeking him because they said that he was beside himself, literally out of his mind. They thought he flipped. He was crazy. They were coming to rescue him. He's out there performing all of these miracles, and then now he's teaching. Look at all these crowds, hundreds, maybe thousands of people around him at all times. This is Jesus, the boy we know from here in town. Now all of a sudden he's the Messiah. They came to rescue him, his mother and his brothers and his sisters. Now Joseph is believed to have been passed away by this time. He's not mentioned in any of the scriptures when the Lord went into ministry. So his mother and his brothers and sisters were standing outside desiring to speak with him. Now you and I, right at the moment, we would have said, "Okay, time out, I'll be right back. Mother and brothers and sisters are outside, so I got to get up and leave and find out what they want." But in verses 48 and 49, so very important, both this week and next week, the changes to the family dynamic. The changes to the family dynamic. The first thing we want to talk about is the perception of family. Jesus changed the perception of the family dynamic and the meaning of family when he came. We've already studied it. It started off this section back in Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 to 36. Matthew 10, 34 to 36. Jesus said, "Do not think." The Greek word is the word there for perceive. "You should not perceive that I came to bring peace upon the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man at division against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies shall be those of his own household. So the first thing Jesus wanted to establish was to his disciples, you become a disciple of me. Not religious, because if you're religious about your Christianity, these things probably won't interfere with your life unless family and friends don't like you becoming a Christian as far as belief and theology goes. Most of the time people say, okay, you choose what religion you want to be in, we'll respect that. But if you become a follower of the person of Jesus Christ, where you seek him to follow him and to serve him every day with all of the issues of life, people have a problem with that. That's going too far. So that's why Jesus told his disciples, not if you join the Christian religion, but if you become my disciple, know this. I did not come to bring peace and unity amongst the human race. In fact, not even amongst family members. I came to bring division because I came with a sword and bring division amongst family. Father against son and mother against her daughter and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And your enemies will be those of your own household. Not because of your religious affiliation, but because of your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, your identity with him, and your devotion to Christ. That's the key. If you're devoted to Christ, people are going to have a problem with it. Not your religious beliefs so much. So he says, I'm coming to bring division, not unity. Among people. So you say, but my family and friends, they're not my enemy, because he said there at the end, your enemies will be those of your own household. My family's not my enemies. They don't believe like I do, but they're not my enemies. They accept me and they're friendly towards me, so I don't have any problem as long as I keep my beliefs to myself and they keep theirs, we all get along fine. Jesus presented the perception of family. There is a purpose for this. That's the second thing we want to bring out to you. The purpose for all of this, why division? Why not human unity? There's a reason for this. In 2 Corinthians, Chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. Paul himself said, do not become unequally yoked together with unbelievers. The unequally yoked in the Greek means yoked to someone who's completely different than you. We're talking spiritually here. Someone who is of a different spirit than you are. You are either of Christ or you're under the influence of Satan in the world. And we know what yoking means. We've already talked about that, where you have this harness and you're hooked up with someone else. As if you're leashed together. They used to use a wooden beam and connect the animals together so that they would pull the load. Do not become unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship, literally what participation, spiritually speaking, what participation has righteousness with unrighteousness? How does Christ's spirit in you participate with someone who doesn't have Christ in them? You're of righteousness, they are of unrighteousness. How do you participate together? Spiritually. You don't. You can't. And what communion or fellowship has light with darkness? And what agreement has Christ with Belial, which is another word for evil? Christ has no fellowship with that person. Or what part has he that believes with a non-believer? And what approval has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they themselves will be my people. See, it's personal. On account of this, come out from among them and be separated. That's pretty strong terminology. Especially when we believe in human unity and love among the brethren. Come out from among them and be separated, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I myself will receive you. And I will be to you for a father, and you shall be to me for sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Personal relationship, not religion. I will dwell in you. I will walk among you. I will be your God, and you will be my sons and daughters. So the question then is asked, what is the purpose for the division? What's the purpose for coming out from amongst them? He's revealing in all of these questions that it is not a religious reason, but a spiritual reason. That if you have the Spirit of Christ dwelling inside of you, then you are exposed to and subjected to the spiritual influence that's in the other person, even if you get along with them. Over the years, the most difficult discussions that I've had with people are people who say, yes, I know that my twin brother is not saved. He doesn't have Christ living in him. But we're each other's best friends. We're BFFs. We get along great as long as I don't share my beliefs with him. We get along great. In the human. In the flesh. And that's the great downfall. You see, Satan is not fair. If you ever want a quotable quote from me, remember this down through the years. Pastor Bill says, Satan is not fair. He will use the person that you love the most and the activity that you love the most to pull you away and draw you away from Christ and his word. Remember what the context here is that Jesus is sitting with the people and he waves his hand, his arm over the people and says, behold my mother and my brothers and my sisters. But how many people got pulled away from sitting and listening to the word and fellowship with other believers because they had other things come up or other things that they had to take care of in the human realm. And it took them away because of how important those things were or that person was. And you might say, well, that's just not fair. Satan is not fair. Many people also tell me, well, if I devote myself to seek the Lord and what he wants me to do, the people that I love the most or my closest friends are going to be very upset with me and it's going to hurt their feelings. And so we have, just like we have today, we have the mixture of protests and philosophy about what family is. Yet in reality, we sympathize with the fact that people are hurt. I've had it come back to me and say, I cannot separate myself and devote myself to Christ and obey him only, no matter what it takes, because it would hurt somebody's feelings, and a God of love would never want me to hurt someone's feelings. That's humanizing spiritual scripture. That's humanizing. Oh, but God doesn't want them to be upset. And I encourage you, read the scriptures, just read the gospels. Jesus upset a lot of people. Because he stuck to doing the will of the Father. And yes, it will hurt some people, and it will hurt me, and it will hurt them. But we're talking about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, next week, we're going to pick up again and talk about the third thing. Today, we've talked about perception. What is the perception of family? Family is spiritual. There are two families in the world. They're the family of people who are filled with the Spirit of Christ, have Christ living inside of them. And the second family are people who are influenced by the spirit of the world, who is turned in the scripture as Satan himself. There's an evil influence. There's only two different spiritual families. And Jesus was telling them, if you become my disciple, you follow me, then you're going to find your enemies are going to be those in your own household. Because they're going to be going in a different direction. They're not going to like it or agree with it that you surrendered your life to Christ. In fact, they're going to say to you that you're a religious fanatic now and that you hate them. Next week, when we talk about priorities, we've talked about perception, we've talked about the purpose for division. It is a spiritual reason, not a human one. It's not legalistic. It's not, I cannot spend time with you because I'm a Christian and you're not. That's not what the Bible's saying. I have the Spirit of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 tells us that evil associations corrupt good habits, good manners. It's the evil influence over the believer to expose and subject and submit ourselves to that evil influence. But next week we'll be in priority, seeing all this in context. Next week, Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, Jesus says, "The one who is loving father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." He didn't say Christianity. He didn't say religion. If you love mother or father more than me, that person is not worthy of me. And he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. How about this? On another occasion, Luke chapter 14, verse 26. If anyone comes to me, Jesus, again, the emphasis is on me, not Christianity. If anybody comes to Christ and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, and in addition, his own life also, he is not able to be my disciple. Now the word hate, miseo in Greek, is a word of comparison. It doesn't mean you go out and start abusing people and showing hate towards them. What Jesus is saying is you must love me so much that the other people think you hate them. You're so devoted to Christ. You're seeking the Lord's will for your life. They're not going to understand. They're not going to approve a devoted life to Christ. I might also say to you in closing, the strongest point of witness and testimony that a believer has is total devotion to Christ, even if it hurts people's feelings and people don't understand or disagree with it. That is a testimony to them that they will have to carry with them for the rest of their lives. When I compromise and say, Lord, I know what you want me to do, but I'm going to go over here and do this because I know my twin brother, he's going to get his feelings hurt, and I don't want to hurt his feelings, and Lord, you'll always understand. So I'm not going to do what you want me to do, Lord. That compromise with my twin brother removes any testimony that I have. My devotion to Christ and my response to Christ is what impresses people, even if they disagree with it. It is a testimony to them that Jesus Christ is real, he's real to me, and I belong to Christ. I'm seeking what he wants me to do. In verse 50 from our text today that we'll finish up with next week, Jesus says, whoever should do the will of my Father in heaven, that person is my mother and my brother and my sister. Seeking to do the Lord's will, we are challenged with compromise because of the humanitarian unity that we're trying to keep, because a God of love wants us all to get along and love one another. It is spiritual unity that the Lord is drawing us into. It's a different perception about family. It's the Lord's perception. It is how he changed the family dynamic from his point of view and from the point of view of the kingdom of God. You and I function in his family according to his perception. Next week, we'll talk about priorities. The Lord's not saying get rid of family and you have no responsibility to family. Even Jesus himself, when he was hanging on the cross, he said to John in John chapter 19, the apostle John, he said, he sees his mother and he sees the apostle John. He says, mother, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. And he gave the care of his mother into John while he was dying. He took care of things. It's not a matter of irresponsibility. It's a matter of perception and priority. Knowing what the purpose is. It's spiritual, not humanistic. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time and thank you for your word. There are things in your word that are hard. There are things in your word that cut against grain, even our religious upbringing and even our religious philosophy of life. But help us to see that this is your perception and the changes that you have made in the family dynamic. The family that we are part of if we have received Christ. He's not trying to take us away from people, but rather showing us that there are spiritual influences out there that will harm us and even interrupt and take away our relationship with Christ. Help us to see the importance of these things. And by your Spirit, minister to us throughout the week about these important truths that we need to know and function in order to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.